Now, if you took your child, your 12-year-old, on a trip somewhere, and all of a sudden the kid disappears, and you figured that they're with their friends and heading back home, and suddenly find out that he's not around, what would you say when you found him? I think Mary was probably just a little perturbed. You know, we think of the Holy Family, and we think everything is just so perfect, you know, that it's kind of like on a level way up there that most human families could never attain. And then they say, well, you know, that's the model family for all Christian families. You say it's impossible. Well, just remember, Jesus was fully human as well as fully divine. So he had to learn, just like any other kid. So in the process, I'm sure there were times when there might have been just a little tension where he was going one direction and his mother and stepfather decided that that's the wrong direction. And I think this probably was one of those occasions. But I can't imagine it was the only time in Jesus' young life that he and his mother, Joseph, had conflict. Because that's just kind of part of life. It's part of developing. It's part of growing. It's what we it's how we learn. That's how we learn to be who we are as adults. We bump into family members. Thankfully, these are the ones who love us and care about us, so they're going to guide us. At least that's the ideal. And I'm sure that's what Jesus learned from Mary and Joseph. He would learn what are the limitations. That there's some things you just don't do. Even, you know, I mean, they're raising him as he's fully human. Remember that part. So I'm sure that Mary had other times in her lifetime when she said, what is the matter with that young man? What's the matter with that kid? When he started his public ministry, and how all of a sudden he's accused of being a drunkard and a glutton and hangs around with sinners and people who had no faith. And she probably wondered sometimes, what is this all about? When he was condemned to death, I'm sure she didn't fully understand that. So, you know, even though it looked, their life sounds so perfect, I mean, you got the Son of God, you got a perfect mother who has never sinned in her life, who was never touched by sin. You have Joseph, who is considered a just man, good in every way possible. You say to yourself, what could ever go wrong? Well, let me today remind you, he's a kid. He needed guidance. He needed direction. You know, when we talk about virtue, we talk about it in St. Paul in that letter to the Colossians. That's a beautiful reading. We should all memorize it, as a matter of fact. All these virtues that he lists, you know, they don't just happen. They don't come with baptism. And even in Jesus' life, he was a Son of God, but he was still fully human. He had to learn. And you learn by practice, which means that somebody's going to guide you, somebody's going to correct you, somebody's going to encourage you, somebody's going to love you every time you mess up. But you're going to mess up. So we practice virtue. We practice virtue. And hopefully in that way we become virtuous people. That we become loving and patient and kind and forgiving and humble and all of these other things. Hopefully we learn that. But it's only when the family takes the time to form and to train, to correct and to guide, to love and to encourage, and that's the way it happens. We practice virtue all the days of our life. That's the way we grow. That's the way we become humble. That's the way we become loving. That's the way we learn to forgive. All of these things that St. Paul spoke of, it happens by practice. Now, I know we say they use in the medical profession, they practice medicine. That's a little scary sometimes. But nonetheless, Even in that field, they know nothing is perfect. There's always things to learn, always new ways of doing things, and that's the way they become better all the time. So in the Christian life, when we look at our world today and say, okay, well, how do I model my family after the Holy Family? It's by imitating those virtues that St. Paul spoke of. Love above all things. Even in the worst of circumstances, there is still love. You may be very unhappy, may be deeply hurt, but you still love the perpetrator because it's your son or your daughter or your spouse. You love them, and so you try to help them. You try to guide them in whatever way you can. Unfortunately, in our world today, with all of the, there just doesn't seem to be time for families to be together enough. You know, a long time ago, you didn't have all of the distractions outside of the home that you have today. So families were pretty much based in their home with their neighbors, their community around them. And usually they had very solid communities because they depended on each other a great deal. They helped each other a great deal. When I was a kid, if I walked up the street and found something on the street and threw it at somebody's house or somebody's window, before I got home, my mom knew about that. Because somebody on that street knew who I was, and they would call up. And so I get home and say, how did you know that? Somebody cared. They wanted to make sure I was straightened up. But that's the way we learn and grow. But it takes time. It takes time for families to be together, where they can talk, where they can know the values that parents have that they want to pass on to their children, that the children can challenge and help the parents to grow in what they understand about that virtue. That's the way people learn kindness. That's the way they learn courtesy. That's the way they learn respect. It doesn't just happen with birth or with baptism. These things are taught, and that's the essential element of family life. We pass on the good that we have acquired or learned in our own lives, and we pass that on to our children so that they in turn can pass it on to their children. But unfortunately, we have to deal with all of the distractions because they're very real. So we have to learn to deal with the cell phones. There's a time when maybe in your home they just need to be shut off. It's time for conversation. It's time to maybe pray together. That would be a good thing once in a while. It's just a time to have fun together, where families just enjoy one another's company. It's so important because even there we learn. We learn limits. We learn respect. We learn love. We learn forgiveness. We learn understanding and kindness. All of those things which are so essential in any social life, and especially in our family lives. And then there's one other thing I just want to mention today. You know, and I've mentioned this, you've heard me say it hundreds of times, I'm sure. The foundation of all society is family. That's the cell, the basic cell that all society is built on. Society and the church as well. If we don't have solid cells, solid foundation, like solid family life, society can't survive. It crumbles. It becomes anarchy. There's no respect, there's no love, there's no understanding, there's no forgiveness of anything. It becomes a dangerous place to be. So we have obligations, say, to our families, to our spouses, and to our children. They're very serious obligations. But it's not just for our own good. We have to understand that we are part of society and that we have obligations to our society. Just like we have obligations to our political order, we have obligations to make that work. And we do that by building solid family life where there are really values, where there are really principles that you live by and not just do whatever you feel like doing because you felt like doing it. Family life determines what society becomes. So it's an obligation that we have. It's not, like I say, it's not just something personal for my own family. We are part of a larger society, and we have obligations to that. So as you're raising families, as you think about the obligations, when you think about, say, just something like, take one example of human respect. That if you cannot respect and don't know how to respect another human being for who they are, as an individual, as a creature of God, as a dwelling place of the Spirit of God, if we can't learn to respect and dignify that person by honoring them, by being good to them, by going out of the way to help them, by loving them, respecting them in every, somehow or another, we're missing something very, very important. And I think our society is already showing very serious signs of that lack of respect. Respect for human beings, for who they are as human beings, as creatures of God, as individuals with freedoms and rights and all of those other things. We have to respect that. But that is not something that comes at birth. It's something that is taught. Just like prejudice. Prejudice is something that children don't have prejudice. Did you ever notice that? They never have problems with people. Somehow or another, we teach them that stuff. We teach them that we don't associate, we don't talk to, we dislike, we don't trust. We teach them that stuff. Wouldn't it be good if we could teach them just the opposite? Instead of teaching them how to hate, it would teach them how to love. And that's essentially the job of family life. So, we're not going to imitate and model perfectly the Holy Family, because none of us are that holy. None of us is the Son of God. We are supposed to be God-like, but none of us is the Son of God. None of us is a totally sinless Virgin Mary. We all have our sins that we need to bow our heads about every once in a while and acknowledge and realize I'm human too, and I need more practice. But somehow or another, in spite of all of that, God entrusts to us. They say, here's the Holy Family. They model the virtues that are necessary in any solid family life. Copy those virtues. Read that letter of Paul to the Colossians, that particular passage that we had today. Type it on a piece of paper or copy it somehow so that you can have it with you every once in a while. Just to remind yourself, these are the virtues that we need to practice, to have solid family life, to have a solid society in which we can live, and to have a church that is based on solid principles, just like family life is. Have a great holiday.